This is Paul Lam, and you're listening to the Path Hunters Podcast, a podcast dedicated to helping you unleash the beast from within so you can fearlessly pursue your own path and passion. Join me on this weekly journey filled with inspiring stories and actionable content. Become a Path Hunter today. Another episode of the Path Hunters Podcast. Hope you guys are all doing great today. This episode for Tuesday, we have an amazing guest here today. It's my friend Sarah Christensen on the podcast. And what's interesting about this episode is that we really dove into pretty much everything that's really relevant in today's world. And I really particularly love this episode because we dove into masculine energy. We dove into Sarah's journey. We dove into so many different things and topics because, like, I really wanted to get a perspective from the female perspective about masculine energy, feminine energy, and all these different things. And what's wonderful is that it just really organically went towards that direction because I really wanted to talk about, like, business and everything like that, and just really prompted this kind of conversation out of the blue. But I really enjoyed this episode the most because we brought this up, and I particularly been very passionate looking about that as well too, and trying to see how to, like, really redefine what it means to be a man in today's world. So what's wonderful is that we dove into that. But anyways, guys, I won't keep you guys any longer. This is my friend Sarah Christensen onto the podcast. Here we go. So, ladies and gentlemen, Path Hunters, I have an amazing guest here today, Sarah Christensen, in the house here. She is part of the master. You know, I just love what you do, number one. Like, you know, kickassmasterminds.com, and I was looking at all the content and what you do and everything like that. And I'm a huge fan of, like, mastermind groups because, like, it's like, it's the number one thing that helps you grow, right? Into, like, a whole another level and everything like that. So welcome here today. That was a long-winded, like, just like saying, I, like, you're awesome and I'm not. So welcome to the podcast.
Oh, stop. Well, you're awesome for having the podcast, and I'm grateful to be on. So thank you.
Yeah. I'm going to let you, you know, steer the ship a little bit and talk about, like, you know, a little bit who you are, what you do, because, like, that little intro didn't do you any justice because I suck with those. But I want to just let you have, you know, the stage here for that.
Okay, awesome. Well, again, my name is Sarah Christensen. I'm the CEO of Kick-Ass Masterminds. I've been an entrepreneur for 25 years. I hate to even admit that. We'll say I started when I was like 10, right? That's not the truth, but yeah. So I've owned 5 different businesses over the course of the past 25 years in all different industries. My largest company was a wireless technology company that I founded and ran for 10 years. Wow. We were Sprint's largest business partner. We worked a lot with the other wireless carriers. And when I sold that, it was doing $10 million in revenue, and I had 75 full-time employees. So I've sort of run the gamut from sort of medium-sized businesses down to being a solopreneur, again, all different types of industries. But the commonality and the thing that was really the thread between all of those was collaboration and connection, and how it really came down to people. And this current business, Kick-Ass Masterminds, is something that I started as a side hustle when I had other businesses. Like, I got involved in a mastermind myself about 7 years ago, and I was like, oh my God, why didn't somebody tell me about these? These are, like, the most amazing thing ever. And I wanted everyone that I knew in the business world to experience it. So I just started creating masterminds with, like, friends and people that I would know. And at one point, it got to the point where I was like, you know what? I can't ignore this anymore. There's such amazing value and such amazing energy and synergy and collaboration that comes out of these groups. I need to put all of my energy into helping other people experience this for their business.
I love that. There was so much there I wanted to, like, pinpoint, and you gave so much value, and I love that. And honestly, like, it must be nice being starting, like, your entrepreneur journey at 10 years old, because, like, you look like you're, like, 26. We're not going to dive into that one there, but we're going to leave it at that. But there's number one thing I want to talk about is that, you know, starting a whole entire business is super hard, super rough. And, like, where do you even start? To, like, kind of, like, because you've owned so many companies, where do you get the idea? Where do you get the inspiration? Where do you get the tenacity to, like, continue on? And, like, how do you know when it is to, like, pull the plug on it if there ever is a chance, right, for it?
Okay, so that's a big question. There's a lot of
that was a lot. I'm sorry. I threw a lot at you just because, like, I love this because, like,
it's something I'm curious myself, right? So like, I guess like the number one, I guess we could just like focus on the one question. It's like, you know, when you, it's clear to know that, you know, building a conscious driven business, that's where I love to be. Like, it's like you're building, you're solving problems. How do you go about, I guess, putting it all together? And like,
well, you just said something that's very important. All good businesses start with solving a problem.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with the founder of the company. It has nothing to do with what kind of business you want to create. It has everything to do with solving a problem that a person or an organization has. Because if you're not solving a problem, there's no value in your business. I talk to so many entrepreneurs that I say, usually first-time entrepreneurs, where I'll say, what problem are you solving? And they're just not quite sure. They're not zeroed in on that. Someone has to be having serious pain for you to solve. Because really, as humans, we go one of two ways. We run away from pain, or we run towards pleasure. And it's been proven time and time again that the pain, like the negativity, is a stronger driver than pleasure. It's hard to sell things that bring pleasure. I mean, there certainly are some things you can do that, but think about, I always say, like, if your dog is having a problem and you love your dog, which I have three dogs and I love them all, I would do anything to solve their problem in that moment. I don't care how much it cost me, where I had to drive, what I had to buy. If they were in pain and I was having a problem, I would do anything to do that. Now, let's talk about prevention when it comes to pets or anything. Have I gotten my dog's teeth cleaned lately? No, I really haven't, because that's like a prevention kind of thing. But if something, if my vet said to me, oh my gosh, your dog is really sick, they need some dental work, I'd be like, yeah, no problem. So I think starting with, where are people having pain? Where are companies having pain? Where are their problems? You have to solve a problem as a business owner. So that's the first thing. And then just in terms of getting all of those other things that you asked me about, the way to solve those, or the way to get moving down the road with those, is just do it. I see so many entrepreneurs get stuck in terms of, well, what's my logo, or I need a website, or what are my colors, or I don't know, you know, I don't have the technology. That's BS. You just have to get started, because the dumbest you're ever going to be about your business is today. And then today, if you get moving and you make all kinds of mistakes, you're going to learn all kinds of things, and you're going to be much smarter tomorrow. And then if you do it again tomorrow, you're going to get smarter and smarter and smarter. So business is a process. It's not a one-time event. And I think that if people can embrace the fact that it's a super messy process, it is a process filled with failures and mistakes and missteps across the board. You just have to get over your damn self that you're making mistakes and that you're bumping into things, and get the learning, and keep repeating stuff. It's sort of like training for athletics, right? If someone's training to be in the Olympics, and they're an ice skater, they're not going to fall on the ice and look around and say, I'm so embarrassed. Oh my God, everybody's going to make fun of me. What are they going to say about me? They get right back up again and they keep pushing. And then they, you know, once they master something, then they push to the next thing, and they make the mistakes and mistakes and the mistakes. Entrepreneurs have to get comfortable making all the mistakes, because that's where the learning is at.
Whew. Sarah's on fire. I love this right now. Like, this is like so fun. And yeah, like, I, you know, definitely I agree with you 100%, because, you know, it's something that gets like grazed over a lot among like other entrepreneurs and stuff like that. Yeah. Like, you know what? I worked really hard. I created 6 months and made Instagram, and I sold Instagram to like Facebook. And like, that's all you hear, the quick story of it. But like, you never really hear about like how many Americanos, how many tears, how many, like, you know, how many, you know, much like times that you failed up until you get to the final product. And it's something that I really want to touch base on a lot more with people, because I want to let people know, because sometimes it's not for them. Being an entrepreneur is not for them, right? And so dialing back a little bit, if you want to solve a problem, if you had to do like start another business again, Sarah, and what how would you come about to like brainstorming that kind of concept? Because people, they probably desire and have that fire within them to be an entrepreneur, but they wouldn't know where to start. I'm sure many people have that kind of issue right now.
So what I would do if I were starting from scratch is I would either, if I wanted to have a service-based business, I would really look at where my area of expertise is. Mm-hmm. It drives me crazy when people start service-based businesses and they don't have an area. They're not an expert in that area, where they're like, oh, I'm going to be a business coach today. Well, it's like, how many businesses have you owned and how long have you been business coaching?
Yeah.
Not at all. Don't get into that kind of a business. Now, that doesn't mean you shouldn't be an entrepreneur, but maybe a product type business would be better, or something else that doesn't require require a serious amount of expertise. But the quickest way to find out where people are having problems is just talk to as many people as you possibly can.
Okay.
And to get on, I mean, we have the access to the this thing called the internet right now, where there's all sorts of people complaining about all sorts of stuff. So it's even going into like the Amazon reviews and reading about, if you're interested in a specific industry or product or whatever, going in and reading about the reviews and seeing what's not right. Like, here's a classic example. We just moved into a new house. We're buying all kinds of stuff. We're remodeling. So I'm buying a lot of things and I'm hitting a lot of products that I'm like, this is not well designed, or there needs to be a better way to do this. Like, I was looking for, this is a classic or like a simple example, but I was looking for like a mirror for my closet that was lighted because my closet's really dark. I cannot find a good lighted mirror for my closet. So I'm thinking, oh, I should start a lighted mirror company, right? So you have to go, the more that you're in the world and in life and talking to people and experiencing life, the more you're going to see those opportunities. So you can't like hide behind your, you know, hide in your house or just be in a vacuum. You have to get out into the world where people are having problems and they're falling and they're making mistakes and all that kind of stuff. And just even like being curious, I think that's a huge attribute of entrepreneurs. Just knowing that you don't have all the answers and you just need to be open to seeing what is out in the world. I think the more people are curious and they're asking questions and they're talking to people and they're really, you know, they're curious, they want to find out, those things just pop up. And honestly, people who are wired to be entrepreneurs, and you probably experience this just as much as I do, see business ideas everywhere.
I do.
Right?
Yeah. It's crazy because like it's only been like 10 minutes and you drop like massive, massive value bombs on people. Like these are the basic foundations of an entrepreneur, in my opinion, because like there is a lot of shit. There is a lot of failing too. Like there, you know, it's like whenever you see a great entrepreneur, that is the byproduct of like all those multiple fails that they had in the past. That's insane. You know,
it's so true. You know, when you think about someone like, you know, we look at these entrepreneurial heroes that we have, like Richard Branson or, you know, Bill Gates or Steve Jobs. Those guys had to eat a lot of shit to get where they're at.
I know.
They got their asses kicked time and time and time and time again. You do not ascend to that kind of a level of a leader and a business owner without getting your butt kicked over and over and over again. And if you're a sensitive kind of person, it can be a real struggle to be an entrepreneur because it's a roller coaster. You know, in a single day, I feel like I could be like standing on the roof of my house screaming at how awesome it is, and I could be like crying, you know? It's just, there's a lot of emotions with it. So you have to be super resilient to just be able to get yourself back up again and be like, this failure is not a bad thing. It's a learning. It's a lesson. It's, I'm going to try it again. I'm going to get better the next time that I do it. But you can't be a successful entrepreneur without embracing that.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that it ever goes away. It does get easier though. With practice, it gets much easier. And again, if you go into things without expectations of that they're going to be perfect, if you go into it with expectations of something's going to go wrong, I don't know what it is, but when it goes wrong, we'll fix it. And I'm curious to see what happens. Like, let's see what the outcome is. Then when it doesn't, like the sales numbers don't hit your expectations or things don't get delivered on time, you don't get defeated as a person, because that's part of it. You have to protect your own energy. So if you're not defeated as a person, it's much easier to get back up again and say, okay, let's try that again. We didn't deliver that on time. Our sales numbers weren't what they were, but let's try it again. So much of that is energy management of you as a human, because you as the human are your business. Your business is just an extension of you. So if you're worn down and defeated and embarrassed and shamed, your business is going to be that as well.
Oh, I love that. You know, I love seeing like, you know, a biz woman empowered, like super hardcore, what was like the tipping point for you where like all this had to change? Like, I'm sure like all this was learned obviously, but you know, was there a particular time where like you've hit a low where like, oh my gosh, it's time to change everything? Because I want to, you know, I firmly believe personally myself that, you know, if you empower a woman, she can literally conquer the world. She can literally like take over the world. And I just want to get that point from you and get your opinions on that, because I want to at least like show up the audience and let the audience, if they're female out there, they want to do something amazing and they need to step into that. Where would they, you know, start or
I guess I asked you like two questions there. So your tipping point, and then what kind of advice would you give to a woman that wants to be awesome?
Okay, so for me, my tipping point was I did the traditional. I went to college. I got the job. I worked, several corporate jobs. Worked my way up the, corporate ladder. But I knew all along that it didn't quite sit well with me. Yeah. I was always getting told, like, that's not in your job description. I was always, like, pushing. I was a super hard charger. And, I look much younger than I am. So when I was in my 20s, I looked like a teenager. And in my 20s, I got braces. So imagine this. I'm sitting at, like a boardroom table with all these men in their 50s. And there I am in my 20s. I look like a teenager with my braces talking all kinds of, So it was just that was a challenge for me to be in an environment where I was judged not necessarily solely by what I was bringing to the table, but by all this other gunk, right?
Yeah.
And then my mom got sick. My mom got cancer, and I was taking care of my mom and taking care of my brother and sister, and I was working my tail off doing an amazing job at the company that I was working for. And I'd asked if I could have some flexibility on Friday afternoons to bring my mom to her radiation appointment. And I reported kind of sideways to the president of the company, and he said no because it would look bad to everyone else. And at that point, I was like, I'm not going to be subject to being in this situation. And at a previous job, I've been laid off.
Yeah.
No doing of mine. Like my first job out of college, this is so funny. I drove from Minneapolis to Chicago because my job was in Chicago. I bought a brand new Honda Accord, a 1995 Honda Accord. It was like the slickest black car ever. I was so excited. I got my first cell phone, and probably a month into my job, I got laid off because the business partners basically got a business partner divorce, and I was with the business partner that didn't get the business. So I was driving home back to Minnesota in my brand new car with my cell phone. I remember crying to my mom, like, I lost my job. And I remember thinking at that point, I am not in control of this. And that did not feel good to me, to know that I was doing a good job, I was showing up the best way, but I didn't have control. So then when this situation happened a few jobs later of being told like I couldn't, and I was working like 60 hours a week, I was at the top performer of the company, I was doing everything, and I just needed those few hours to take care of my mom, and being told no. And to me, that was my tipping point. Like, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not going to be having my life in the hands of someone else. So, and the advice I would give for men and women is to really figure out what kind of lifestyle do you want? Like, if you could dream to have the ultimate life, like any kind of life that you wanted, start there and figure out how you making money fits into that. Mm-hmm. And it might be being an employee. It might be being a digital nomad. It might be building an empire and selling it and not, selling it 10 years in and not having to work for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
But as entrepreneurs, our personal lives and our business lives are one. There's no clear separation between them.
Yeah.
But I do believe you have to start with, what do you want in the global sense of your life, with your health and your family and your home and your relationships and like all of the stuff about your life, like what kind of lifestyle do you want to have? And then figure out how your business fits into that. And there's not one right answer. There really isn't.
Whew. That gave me goosebumps, like that story, because like that exact same scenario happened to me, was it 3 or 4 years ago? And I'm going through that. And I went through another corporate 9-to-5 job, and I had a massive breakup. And this happened on the Friday, and I didn't want – and I had to go in to work for the Saturday. And I said to myself, like, these guys literally have my life. I was selling insurance, so you had to be like happy, uh-huh, all giddy and stuff like that. And I'm like, these fuckers have my life. And I just left. I just quit the corporate 9-to-5 job. But it's crazy because like now I'm at the space where I'm trying to figure this out. Full disclosure, like I'm figuring this out. I'm trying, crawling and all this shit. And it's scary. It sucks. It's like it's horrible. And I love your story because of the fact is that I'm curious to know what kind of qualities that really kind of kept you going, because I'm sure there's going to be like off days where you're building this business. You're building your side hustle. And then there are going to be days where like, What am I doing here? I'm trying to, you're living off beans and rice or whatever it is. Like, it's just like, what can I still give anymore? When is this going to pay off?
Yes. And there is a really bad misperception that it happens fast.
Yeah.
Because we do hear the Instagram stories. We hear the, especially in the online space, there's so much bullshit online about You know, 2 weeks ago, I was working at the Gap, but now I made $100,000 in one launch. And, you know, there's so much bullshit around that. It drives me crazy to build a sustainable business, not to have one launch or one funnel or a little bit of cash flow. It does take some time. And it does take a lot of perseverance, because it's not always up, up, up. In fact, a lot of it is really hard. A lot of it's grinding, especially in the beginning. The thing is, in the beginning, it's hard because you don't have momentum.
Yeah,
but true. Once you start your business, what's going to happen is you're going to, this is a corny analogy, but you're going to plant a lot of seeds. You really are. You're going to hustle and you're going to push and you're going to do things. You're going to talk to people. You're going to meet with people. You're going to create, you know, stuff online. You're going to create a presence on social media, all this stuff. Like, you're going to do, and you don't know which of those things are actually going to produce fruit. But then something starts. You're like, okay, that's kind of interesting, but you got to keep doing. You got to keep planting. And I can't tell you how many times, especially in my technology business, I met somebody, or they showed up and they wanted to be our client or whatever, and I was like, how did you know about us? They were like, oh, I heard you speak 3 years ago. 3 years ago. So, but it was that, it's that momentum, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you never know when that creeps up or when that's going to come back. But knowing, if you can focus again on the process instead of on the outcome, mm-hmm. you will be much happier, because you kind of don't have control on the outcome,
yeah.
but you have control on the process. It's kind of like losing weight. You don't have control on losing weight, but you have control over what you're putting in your mouth and how much you're moving your body and how much you're sleeping and how much water you're drinking and all of that kind of stuff. So focus on the process, focus on the activities, because those are the things that you can affect and that you can do, and know that some of those things are going to produce fruit and some just aren't, and that's okay.
Ooh, I'm getting goosebumps because it's so awesome. I love this right now. Sarah, I appreciate that. It means a lot to me just to, you know, for you get your insights on this, because, you know, I've been taking a look, and you're welcome to, like, you know, just disagree with me or agree with me, whatever you want. But I firmly believe in today's world, like, we can have the funnels, we can have all the launch, all the extra shit. But I think what eventually is going to happen is that we're going to in a space where a lot of things are going to be regurgitated. And I'm trying to look at a business way in a way where I have to be the best, like, me possible and uniquely myself to go and build a business that, like, really is a reflection of myself. But I really had to step back quite recently, because 2017 was like, I was that guy that, hey, I need the software, I need ClickFunnels, I need all this, and nothing worked, and that was bullshit. And so this year I've been kind of looking more into, like, what's about Paul Lamb? What's, like, what's so special about me right now that people kind of gravitate towards? And, like, how can I offer more beyond who I am as a person? So I want to get your thoughts on that.
Well, I said earlier, your business is a reflection of you. Definitely is. The energy that you bring in, everything about you, your business definitely reflects that. And the better leader you are, the better CEO you are, the better entrepreneur you are, the better you are able to lead your business.
Yeah.
And when you focus on your skills and who you are as a person, that's always going to be an amazing, amazing investment. Mm-hmm. And so much of that is energy management. It's being healthy. It's being happy. I mean, I can think about times when I was in bad relationships. And you better believe I showed up in my business in a different kind of a way, because that was like a cloud over everything. So just like I said earlier, with everything being interwoven, your personal life affects your business affects your personal life. All of that stuff is so connected. And if you can start from that place of, what do I want my life to be? What do I want my lifestyle to be? And how does this business fit into that?
Yeah.
And then also realizing and recognizing that in a space where there seems to be a lot of competition, especially the online expert space, it's just not true.
Yeah.
Because there's only one you. There's only one human named Paul Lamb who shows up in the world the way that you do, and the way that you do your business, even though it might be the same exact business that someone else has, it's uniquely different. It's sort of like going to restaurants, right? Like, yes, I just moved from San Diego. There's a bajillion Mexican restaurants there, but they were all different in some way, shape, or form, because different humans ran them, not the exact same humans ran them. I mean, it even happens when you get the same restaurant chain, you might have a little bit of a different experience because different humans are there. Like, when I go to Starbucks or even our local coffee shop here, I have a different experience because I'm interacting with different people. Even though the coffee might be the same, it's a different kind of thing. So I think that's something that people can anchor into, is that their uniqueness as a human is definitely an isolating mechanism and a competitive advantage if they can embrace that and not try and be like everybody else. Okay. That's something else that I see, especially you brought up the women entrepreneur thing before. I see a lot of the girl boss entrepreneurs copying each other, doing the cutesy photo shoots, even though that might not be them, trying to use the same language as each other. It's just like, everybody needs to just be comfortable being themselves, because everybody can see through that. It's so, so transparent. And once you are, you embrace your quirks and the weirdness about you, your people show up. The people who like your quirks, the people who like your weirdness. I can't tell you how many times I will post something on Instagram, which is my platform of choice. I'm at Kickass Masterminds, but I'll post something that I'm like, oh, that was a little out there. I'm definitely going to get some backlash. And I get a bajillion comments where people are like, I love that. Oh my God. Thank you for finally saying that. So we have to push. We have to show who we are in all of our glorious flawedness, with our opinions and our thoughts and our, you know, because that's what people are looking for. They're not looking for blah, middle of the road. I mean, even look at the entertainment business. How many people are in the entertainment business that are totally boring, that are not interesting, that are middle of the road, that are have no uniqueness? Like, zero. Look at some of our most popular artists. Look at Lady Gaga. I mean, she is uniquely weird and freaky herself, but her people love her because they want to have that permission to be that way themselves. They see themselves in her. So as entrepreneurs, we need to give people that same kind of a reason to be themselves and lead ourselves by showing by example, right? Yeah.
I'm getting so hyped right now. I just followed you on Instagram, by the way, Kickass Masterminds, and I love it. I agree with you. I agree with you. Every single time, same thing with my Instagram. I love Instagram, by the way. And so, like, I have to plug it in or else I'm a bad podcaster. So you can just follow Sarah on here, Kickass Mastermind, on Instagram. So that way I followed her. She rocks. And like the other day I posted, like, I'm heavily into fitness, but I'm not a fitness guru or anything by any chance. I just done a transformation myself personally. And I like eating donuts. And I literally, on my Instagram stories, I literally would just like record myself and just pull up a donut slowly and just bite into that. People are like, I hate you, but I love you. I'm like, I get that. How do you stay shredded and eat donuts at the same time? I'm like, dude, you just do it. That's it.
That's awesome.
But yeah, so I know what you mean. Like I said, like, I'm still trying to figure this out, because like there comes a time, like, you know what? I'm trying to figure out this space. I'm in this space where redefining what it means to be a man is super important for me right now. And I'm trying to tap into this personally myself. And it's been really important to me. But every time I've done that, like you say, posting something that has a backlash, you would think like, oh my gosh, people are going to hate you for it. But no, it's the opposite. Like, oh my God, Paul, I never thought you know, these kind of struggles you have as an Asian American, Asian Canadian, in whatever it is, like kind of stuff. Right. So it's quite interesting to see that. So be yourself, people.
Totally.
That's the whole point.
Totally. Can I talk about this masculinity stuff?
Yes.
Okay. Please. So we could probably talk for another hour about this, so I'll keep it short. In this current environment that we're in, we need men to be leaders and to get back to, I think, the nature of what masculine energy and feminine energy is all about. It's not about men and women. Yeah. And the masculine energy and the feminine energy are very collaborative and cooperative, and they need each other. It's the yin and the yang,
true,
right?
True.
So I think that there's a lot of confusion. There's a lot of awkwardness. There's a lot of people being offended around things. We need leadership in this space to help people to be who they are on the masculine feminine continuum, and for whatever that is to be okay, unless of course it's hurtful or toxic or whatever. But we're in a weird environment right now where I think men and women don't know how to navigate this whole entire space, and we need some leadership in this space to give people the power to say it's okay, and to help get rid of a lot of the judgment that we have around this, and to even teach people what the heck the masculine and the feminine energy is about. I remember when I learned about this I was like, why didn't anybody teach me this? Like, yeah, why didn't I know what this was and how, like, as a businesswoman, I need to show up very masculine inside of my business and execute and kick some ass and be very executional. But in my relationships, I was showing up that way. And the men that I was in a relationship with were like, yeah, I kind of don't want you to be the dude in the relationship. So I've learned how that transition works. Oh, and, you know, for women, it's particularly challenging because we have to go back and forth. But just my point is this particular space needs some serious leadership.
I'm curious to get your thoughts on what that looks like, because like I firmly believe that men and women, they have to tap into both. You can tap into both. It's not one spectrum or the other. Men have to show a side of feminism as well too. Like show a side of like they can be vulnerable. They can like express empathy. They can feel for women as well too. Like both like strong and vulnerable. Like I firmly believe 100% like there is not enough people from this space, and this is why I love this space. And this is definitely my jam, because like I feel like, you know, women, I love it when women just go out and be like masculine. Yes, do it, kill it. And then come home and be like, okay, it's time for me to be like a little bit feminine now. And I get it. And I love that. I fucking love that. And like for men, they can't do that yet. You know, women are a little bit more ahead than men are right now. But like when you can tap into both in the men's side, you get like this kind of sense of like, yeah, I get it. I get it. I get you want to, you know, just chill out and not do anything. Let's grab some cupcakes and let's eat and let's watch a movie or some shit like that. It's like, I get it. But I'm curious, what does a leader in that space look like to you?
Well, I feel like a leader in that space is really helping people to figure out what role they want to play and at what time, yeah, and in different kind of scenarios. And also to help people to own that and to not feel like they're going to be judged or to not care if they're going to be judged along those lines. Again, for me, I have done a lot of work in this area. And for me, I know what works for me. That might not be what works for my neighbor or what works for someone else, but I've done enough work to know what I desire and what I crave, both in all the different scenarios where I show up and I'm interacting with other people, mm-hmm, specifically my romantic, my intimate relationship. I know what that is, but I've had to do a lot of work around that. And like, I own that. We get it. We're definitely in harmony about that. We talk about it a lot, but I think there does need to be the leadership needs to come in terms of education. Like, this is a real thing. It's not something that's made up. It's biological.
It is.
We, you know, men and women are different. And I think that's one of the things that drives me crazy about this movement right now is we're not the same. We are not the same. Masculine and feminine energy. And I say men and women, but that's not always true. Like, I have a lot of gay people in my family, but some of them have more feminine energy. Some of them have more masculine energy. So the masculine and the feminine, but it's figuring out where you are in that space, mm-hmm, what the tenor of that particular energy is, and how you can work with people inside of those energies. So I think first is just education.
Okay.
Helping people to understand what that looks like. And the second is defining what works for you. Because again, it doesn't work the same for everybody at all. And I think it shifts over time as we figure out what we want to do and how we want to behave. Like in my personal relationship, if I showed up in my personal relationship the way I show up in my business, Scott would not want to be with me. Because in my business, I'm very executional. Yeah. I'm like, I'm taking care of business. I'm paying for everything, whatever. In our personal relationship, he wants to take more of that masculine role. And quite frankly, I want to be more in the feminine role. Yeah. And we both get what we want out of that relationship. But the leadership needs to come in terms of just awareness and education. Because again, the masculine and the feminine energy are not the same. Mm-hmm. They are equal and both valuable and both amazing, but not the same at all. So it's what that is. And then it's helping people to figure out where do you want to be in that continuum? And it's not the same in every single situation.
Yeah.
It's not the same in every, you know, there are sometimes it's appropriate to be more masculine versus more feminine. Like, here's another example. We live in a neighborhood with quite a few older people. And the older men in the neighborhood are the sweetest guys ever. They're from the generation where, like, men are men, right?
Yeah.
Not in a bad way, but they're very much men are men. And when I need help with anything, when I go to ask them for help, like I even went over to the neighbor the other day because we're new to Austin, and I was saying, what's up with the pollen in the trees? Like, is it always this issue? He was so happy to help me. Like, he wanted to be that masculine, like, answer my questions, take the leadership role. He felt so good because I was like, I need help. I just, yeah. Which is very feminine, right? Like, I need help. I have a question. He wanted to show up and help me in that way. And then my job back to him as that feminine role in this interaction was to be very grateful and appreciative of that. And you know what? We both got what we wanted out of that situation because yeah. The masculine played its role, the feminine played its role, and everybody wins. But it's not the same in every situation, yeah. Which makes it tricky. I think there's a lot of confusing messages. And again, people are quick to get offended. The other day I saw a gentleman open the door at Starbucks. I walked through, told him thank you. The girl behind me basically waved him off and wouldn't accept him opening the door for her. Mm-hmm. And he was kind of like, I was just trying to be nice. And she was offended that yeah. he had done that. Like, he was pissing her off by saying, little girl, you can't open the door by yourself or whatever. She chose to take that. So I think that, and again, it's calling people out on being offended or being pissed off about it or judging other people. I think there's so much work you could do here, Paul. So much work.
I love it though, because like I said, like I, you know, can men tap into both? I want to get your
yes.
opinions. Okay, good. Because like,
absolutely positively.
Because like, I love that. I love the generation where like you said, like, you know, the older gentleman, I'm like that as well too. But on the plus side as well too, I want to help men also be that listener and be present with a woman and understand and hear her feelings and understand and hear her troubles and everything, like, and really listen. You know, most men aren't able to do that. Like, you know, in a modern context, you know, we inherited all these warrior mentalities, I always like to call it, from like our past, our, you know, forefathers and everything like that. And men are struggling to see and to feel now. I saw a man the other day, you know, having like a little squabble with his, you know, lover or something, and he wanted to cry, but his eyes got watery, but he just put his head up and kind of just like, and held it in. And that is so wrong, in my opinion. Like, cry, man, just do it, just cry, let her show some emotion, because like, it was, she was getting pissed off because like, it was like, come on, damn it, cry, motherfucker. And like, and I can
but
see
you know
the
what?
Power struggle.
I'm gonna challenge you on that a little bit.
Yeah.
There's I love it when men are strong and confident and can show their emotions.
Yeah.
But to me, there's definitely a line between
too much, right?
Too much.
Yes.
Yeah. Too much.
I know.
If someone's crying every time, like at the drop of a hat. Probably not the strong masculine force that I want to be in relationship with. However, I've seen Scott get tears in his eyes talking about, like, there was some like super emotional movie we watched about fathers and sons. Yeah. And Scott got tears in his eyes over that. I was like, oh, this is such an awesome, like, it was a moment in the movie, right? And he definitely felt that emotion around that. I think that, again, I'm talking in broad brushes here.
It is.
Masculine men, yeah, for the most part, are the rock, right? They're the rocks of our relationships. They are the steady rock, non-super emotional. This comes down to nature, right? Testosterone is not a super emotional kind of, the hormone in our body.
Yeah.
Estrogen, progesterone, that's another deal. That's why women cry. That's what we hurt when we get our periods. I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah.
But I think that we men don't know how to navigate this time that we're in,
yeah,
because there's all sorts of mixed messages, right? There's like the super aggro masculine, like, you gotta be tough and you gotta be a fighter 100% of the time. And then there's this, like, you know, this emo kind of what's the right word I'm looking for? Androgynous, like in man, woman, I don't know. But again, it comes back to every single individual person gets to choose this,
yeah,
and gets to rock whatever it is they are. But I think people need to know what that is and kind of where they want to be, because you do need that yin and that yang in the relationship. Relationships that have two super feminine energy people and relationships that have two super masculine people will be at odds all the time because they're stepping over each other's toes all the time. Yeah. There definitely is a black and a white when it comes to the masculine and feminine energy working together. Again, the masculine energy is very executional. They solve problems. They show up really solid. They're super duper stable. Where the feminine energy is definitely more of the energy of the relationship, right? It's the light and the interest and the laughter and the like fun of the relationship. And the masculine energy tends to be, we talk about it, Scott and I talk about it in terms of he's the rock and I'm like the kite that's flying above the rock. Like, I'm always like, let's go to this concert and let's do this fun thing. Yeah, and yeah. I always like have the energy in the relationship, but he keeps us grounded and he's the safety, the security, that kind of a role in the relationship. So I think that there's all sorts of different ways that this can play out in relationships, 100%. Which is what this is all about. But people have to know what it is, what they choose, and to then find partners, both in business and in relationships, that is a good complement to that. Sure. Like I said, I've been in relationships before where I've shown up super masculine. My man has shown up super masculine. It just does not work. We're constantly fighting for who's in charge, who's making the decisions, who's paying for things, all of that kind of stuff. It just doesn't work.
I'm curious now because, like, you know, when Scott it was, right? Mm-hmm. When Scott cried, like, from that movie, did you feel a sense of, like, a little bit closer to him, right, instantly?
I felt like, oh, that was super tender. Uh-huh. Because it was an expression of love for his kids.
Yeah.
Which I, you know, men taking good care of their children is super attractive to women. Again, it's biology. That's women, you know, women want their men to take care of their offsprings.
Yeah.
So it's, I found it super tender. Now, to be honest with you, if he was crying every single day, I'd be like, dude,
I know that's a little too much.
That's not attractive. I know.
No, the reason, no, that's not what I'm saying at all. Because like the reason why I asked that is just because, like, you know, I picture a relationship working in a way where it's like a soldier, a man goes off to battle, like the Spartans, those hardcore guys. You can be a man, but come home and like take off the armor. Like, okay, I had a rough day. Battle was rough, kind of deal. And like it bothered him because like he, you know. There has to be a space to kind of show that because, you know, I find that most men that I bump into that they don't even want to show their spouse, partner, that kind of emotion as well. I think not all the time. It's not a good thing. I agree with you. Like if you're a little too much of a, like a sensitive, like that's kind of, but I get it. But I think there has to be a space to show that kind of like, you know what? I'm not doing well. Like, can I talk to you a little bit about this or something like that? Right. There has to be that kind of space. But I find that most relationships kind of have that kind of like, that doesn't have that space in a sense. I don't know mm-hmm. I don't know, but yeah.
No, I know what you're saying. I am a fan of girlfriends being a support system yeah. and men having their friends as a support system.
Yeah.
You can't have that. You can't have your partner be everything to you.
True.
There's some support I get from my girlfriends I could never get from Scott, and I would never expect him to support me in that kind of a way. I think men need to have those infrastructures with each other too, because men go through things that women can't understand. And True. Quite frankly, it's not things that you necessarily want to be having those conversations with or expecting yeah. that person to hold that space for you. There are things that your partner can't be everything to you, which is why I think you need to have a strong infrastructure of people around you to support you and even space and time on your own.
Yeah,
I mean, we have spaces in our house where it's like, this is where I go for my quiet space and I need more quiet space than Scott. So I tend to have spaces where I can go and, you know, have my kind of quiet time, but I know that I need that because I know myself well enough. Scott's more like from a recharge, not with Sarah perspective. He's more apt to go like to CrossFit with his buddies or to go have some cool. drinks with his buddies, which is totally fine and cool. And I know that they have conversations there he probably wouldn't have with me because I just don't hold that space for him. But the cool thing about that is that then when we come back together, we have different experiences that we can now share with each other. We can bring different things back to our relationship that isn't just about us. Like we learn things or we have other conversations where we're like, this person is so cool, I want you to meet them. I think that is a huge piece of keeping relationships fresh, is that you need to have independent stuff going on so that when you come back together, you're not like, well, let's talk about the kids again, or what do you want to have for dinner? But you're like, I learned this cool thing,
I experienced
this amazing thing, or we should go and do this together. Both people having other people holding space for them in the world and in life is so healthy for relationships. It's the opposite of codependence.
I agree. No, I 100% agree with you in that space, because it sounds like a great, like that sounds to me like perfect and ideal, because like that... You know, I a lot of like, you know, it's some relationships you can see they're very possessive. And like, I don't know how we talked about, we're getting to a place where we're talking about relationship now, but it's awesome. It's so awesome. But like, you know, some men are very possessive. You know, they don't allow the, you know, their women to go, like, friends, like, come on, what about me? And I'm like, that's a little too much. Like, that's possessive and that's wrong. And so like, I love that. I love that the description of a healthy relationship, because that is ideal and that is what I want now too.
Well, again, you have to be clear about what you want. I mean, I was in so many relationships that they weren't bad people, but we were mismatched in terms of the masculine and feminine energy. And it was a lot of me because I was showing up so masculine. Huh. My whole entire life, I had to be executional. Ever since I was a little kid, I was taking care of everybody. I was managing everything. I was paying for everything. I was working really hard in my businesses. And as a CEO, you have to be primarily masculine. Feminine energy is about receiving. You are not going to be a successful entrepreneur if you're like, everybody show up and I will receive what you're giving to me. That's not how it works. You have to do the things and be executional and be masculine. And that's why I was saying it's difficult and it's more of a challenge for women, because in our work situations, we definitely have to be more masculine. Now, I'm not saying you have to show up as a man at all. You can still show up as a strong woman. You can still bring femininity into business, but you cannot do it without some element of masculinity because again, everything in business is that masculine action. I don't care if you're writing a book. I don't care if you're creating, you know, a website, if you're speaking in front of a group of people, if you're doing a podcast recording, this is very active and it's very executional. I couldn't have shown up for this podcast and been like, okay, I'm ready to just listen. I'm ready to just receive whatever you're bringing to the table, Paul, right? I have to like actively show up in that. So for women to figure out what that looks like, it can definitely be a transition. But I work with a lot of women, a lot of women executives, a lot of women business owners. And I will say that's something that we do work on a lot is they're, especially when they get into their 40s, they're very tired from being very executional their whole entire lives, especially in the business space. And they want their partners to step up and to help them more at home. They want to be more in the feminine at home. They want to not have to plan every vacation or coordinate every single time that they're going out on a date, right? They want their men to show up and say, I'm going to take you on a date. I'm going to plan this next vacation. I'm going to coordinate the kids' schedules, whatever it might be. But the challenge with women is that they have to let men in to do that. They have to allow men to help them. Yeah. And even though the men might not do it the exact same way that they would want it done, they have to be open to that. And we still go through this a lot. Scott is like an amazing masculine man. And sometimes he does stuff I'm like, I would have never done it that way, but it's okay. Like, it's okay. I need to be okay with that. And sometimes he misses and we don't have a reservation for dinner or something. But I would much rather that happen versus me emasculating him and having to take care of all of those details. Mm. But that transition for women from managing the to-do list inside of a business to managing the relationship and a home is a big challenge. And honestly, every single mastermind group that we have that has women in it, this is a topic. We talk about this a lot. And it's girlfriends, you know, girlfriends in your mastermind, if you will, to talk about these things and talk about techniques. Like, how do you manage this? Or how do you guys handle, you know, date night? Or how do you handle having to work after you put the kids to bed? All of that life and work stuff is just so interwoven. And we have men and women in our masterminds, but I do notice that when it's a group of all women, there's a lot of discussion about family and relationship and life in addition to the nitty-gritties of business, because they all affect each other. Yeah. Like if your kid is sick, it doesn't matter if your sales funnel is converting. Or if you are having some, you know, health issue, it doesn't matter that your Facebook ads are bombing, you know? It really is. That's why masterminds are so powerful, because they are support systems for life. They're just sort of led in terms of business, right? That business is our main focus. But if life stuff is happening that's affecting your business and not allowing you to show up well in your business, then that's what we're going to talk about. And that's what we're going to help you with.
Whew, I love that. I love that so much. And like I have a theory on this, and just like, let me, again, you're welcome to disagree or agree with me, but I have a theory that why, so for a man to do that, to do what you say, like, you know, take care of, like, you know, planning the dates and everything like that, and you know, I'll have to say it right now plainly, like, guys are relatively pretty dumb, like, we're relatively pretty dumb, and but like I realize that your values have to be taken a look at first, so your relationship has to be a little bit more important, right, above all else, to for you to like kind of, yeah, you know what, she's tired, be aware of that, she's tired, she's coming home, she's shown very, you know, her masculine side, she wants to come home, feel a bit feminine, let's just put together a date, because my relationship with her is super important. And that I think that's the first step to taking a look at going that direction, in my opinion, taking a look at the values of what is important to you in that.
Well, I'm going to challenge you. I don't think men are dumb. Yes. I think men are extremely smart.
Okay.
And I think, but here's what I think they are. They're less intuitive than women.
Yeah.
Women do have a stronger intuition than men. It's just, it is what it is. What happens though is women expect men to have the same level of intuition. And then they're like, why doesn't he know what I want?
Yeah.
Well, because they're not mind readers. Men do not have the same level of intuition that women do. What women have to get good at is asking for what they want in a soft, respectful kind of way. Mm-hmm. So if she does have a, you know, crappy day at work, or she wants to be taken out on a date, it's saying, it would feel so good to me. I would love it if you could take me to dinner tonight. Any man is going to respond to that and be like, I'm on it.
Yeah,
I got it.
Of course.
Especially if this is the conversation that does not happen. He's like, awesome, I got it. Let's go to that new sushi place that's on Burnett. She's like, oh, I don't want to go there. So immediately she's like defeating him. He's like, I want to help. I want to show up in that way. And she's like, no, it's not good enough. There's a way to handle that. So she could say, you know, honey, I love that idea. I definitely want to go there. I would love to have pizza tonight, though. So it's not like just for her to suck, you know, to suck it up and not do what she doesn't want. But there's a way to have that dance and to have that relationship. And if she wants to have a weekly date night, she needs to ask for that. And men need to step up and fucking do that. That's part of it. It's like women need to allow men to take care of them in that kind of a way. And men need to actually step up and do that. And when that happens, and she shows gratitude and appreciation for men doing that, that's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful thing. He's giving to her, she's receiving, and she's sending that gratitude and that respect back to him. Again, we're talking in generalities here, men and women, but that's what people want. That's what the masculine energy wants. The masculine energy wants to show up, wants to serve, wants to take care, but also wants in return respect and gratitude. Sure. It is an exchange. Women, again, generalities, women want to be taken care of, want to receive, but have to know that this, it is in exchange for gratitude and respect. And it sounds like a transaction, it kind of is a transaction, but when it happens, it's beautiful and it's amazing and it's easy and everybody gets what they want. Everybody is happy because the masculine energy can show up and serve in the way that it's meant to do that. Mm-hmm. And to get that respect and to get that gratitude. The feminine energy gets what they want. I mean, Scott and I know this, like, logically, it's in our brains. We talk about this all the time. But I can tell you, when I show him gratitude, especially if Scott's a big personality, so if I go above and beyond and show him big gratitude, I can see his body language change. His shoulders go back, he stands up tall, he smiles, like, he loves that kind of gratitude.
Yeah,
and again, logically, he knows that I'm doing that for him, and I want to do that for him, right? It feels good for me to do that for him, but he's getting what he wants out of that exchange, and I'm getting what I want. Here's a classic example. He put new tires on my car last week. which is something I'm mostly not into taking care of my car. He totally took care of it. So again, executional, he's doing something for me. He's showing up for me in that big kind of a way. What I gave him back was a massive amount of gratitude. And Scott, again, he's a big personality. So if I can extend the gratitude beyond Scott, he even loves it even more. So if I put on social media, like, Scott is amazing. He put new tires on my car. This is a great man. Like, again, he's getting what he wants out of the relationship. I get what I want out of the relationship. Where instead, I could have, so it could have gone another way, right? He could have put new tires on my car and I could have approached it and said, well, of course he should. I mean, of course he should take care of those details. I mean, I take care of a lot of details around the house too. You know, of course he should do that. So do you think he's going to want to show up again and do something for me the next time? No. And I have this conversation with women all the time about men helping around the house. And they're like, well, of course he should unload the dishwasher. I do it most of the time. It's like, yeah, but if you're a bitch when he does it, do you think he's ever going to want to do it again? No. What do you want? Do you want your man to unload the dishwasher? If you do, you just need to shut up and say thank you and be grateful. Because you know what? He'll do it again the next time and again the next time and again the next time. Because he's getting what he wants, which is respect and gratitude. And you're getting what you want, which is the damn dishwasher empty.
Yeah. Oh, I love this. This is a great conversation that we've had, Sarah. And I want to be really respectful of your time, by the way. And I really wanted to touch base on masterminds, but that could be a part two for next time, I feel.
We just ran down this whole masculine feminine thing.
I love it, though. It's perfect because I'm learning new stuff all the time because, like I said, I love this space. I love this topic because, like I said, the next relationship I'm going to be in, it's not going to be about, like, you know, it's going to be a lot about these kind of things that we talk about. And I really want to have that conversation as well too, as I'm learning all the time as well, because you know, there's one thing to say, like, you know, we have to reflect on our past relationships, right? And then all my relationships didn't go very well, and then, you know, I think it's obviously going to be me then, in that case, like, something's wrong with me. So, like, it's taking a look at what's, like, what the issue was and what can I do for it to be better next time. So that's what's important.
But don't think of it in terms of there's an issue with you. You have to figure out, again, what you want in a relationship and be very, very clear about how you're going to show up in a relationship.
True.
And how, you know, what kind of a person is a good fit for that. Mm-hmm. So it's not like any people are bad people. I mean, there's a few bad people out there, let's be clear. Yeah. But most times it's just a fit issue. And it's a fit issue between the masculine and the feminine. And there's, have you read any of David Deida's books?
No.
Okay, this is your assignment, is to read, the name of it is escaping me, the one that's the most, it's his most popular book, something of the something something man, I can't remember exactly what it's called. That's the book I would recommend for men when it comes to masculinity. It's an amazing book, David Deida.
Okay.
The book I would recommend for women to tap more into their femininity is called A Woman's Worth by Marianne Williamson. Those are two kind of the femininity, masculinity Bibles that I would say. They are definitely coming at it from a spiritual, energetic perspective. They're excellent, but they do help you to define, like, where am I? How do I want to fall into this? Is this resonating with me at all? Does this feel good? So for you, look at, I'm jumping right into therapy.
I love it.
Read that book.
Yeah. Okay.
How you want to show up inside of a relationship, like how you want to love on your person and what that looks like. And then start to get crystal clear about how you want that person to show up for you. And it is amazing. Once you start to get more and more and more and more clear about that, how these people will start showing up in your life. And the disclaimer or the warning that I would give you, because I feel like I've gotten to be the dating coach for so many of my guy friends, is to be really clear about who you're looking for in terms of, is this a life partner you're looking for? Is this someone to, like, just go out and date and have fun? Is it someone you just want to have sex with? Like, what is that role that you're looking for?
Yeah.
Be extraordinarily clear about that, especially if it's someone that you want to have a long-term relationship with. And with men, you have to be attracted to this person. Yes, but it's not all about the looks. Like, you got to be really clear that when you're, you know, when you're eating pizza together at night in front of the TV and you're, you know, like, or you're at the dinner table having a conversation, it's more than just looks. And again, men are wired for for beauty, to look for beauty, because that's how they look for good partners to have babies with.
Yeah.
So it's just, it's a biological thing, but you have to definitely look beyond that. Obviously you need to be attracted to the person, but they need to be able to show up again in that kind of a way where you want to have them as your partner, whatever that might mean for you. So there's your assignment. There's your
I'm on it. I promise. I promise.
Yeah, but if there are business people out here who are looking to, you know, take their business to the next level, who are looking for support, accountability, resources, inspiration, masterminds are a great way to do that. And I will say that not all masterminds are created equal. There are a lot of group coaching programs out there that are called masterminds. There's a lot of like DIY accountability that are groups that are called masterminds. But having a true mastermind can be completely transformative to your business.
I love that. I'm going to be asking you two more questions. And then, before we get into that, I just want to say, you know, thank you so much, Sarah, for just like just sharing us your wisdom, your love, and so much of your passion, because like, I loved it. I learned so much. I'm definitely going to get on those assignments as well too. And, honestly, keep doing what you're doing, because it's just amazing. I love it.
Thank you.
And, so for those path hunters who wants to like contact you, stalk you online or anything like that, where else can, you know, they find you, or where do you usually hang out?
So I'm usually on Instagram at Kickass Masterminds. I also have a podcast called the Entrepreneur Mastermind Show, which is a real life mastermind that we air the actual hot seats. So people are coming on and saying, I'm having this challenge or this problem in my business. And then we mastermind on that. So that's at mastermind.show. So come find me on Instagram or listen to the podcast. We actually do the videos for the podcast too, which are kind of fun to see everybody interacting together. So that's at mastermind.show.
Awesome. And two final questions here. So this show is called the Path Hunters Podcast. So when you hear the term Path Hunters, what comes to mind?
I envision like a jungle scene popped into my mind immediately. Yeah. But it's finding, but more so exploring what the possibilities are for life.
I love that. So I'm going to paint you a picture. San Diego's busy. I've been there. It's so busy sometimes. And so imagine you're in like a busy street and see people walking by, driving by. You have this cardboard, you know, sign that you're able to write one message or advice to impact all these people's lives in a positive way. What kind of message or advice would it be, and why?
Oh, that's a big question. Not giving me any time to think about it. I would probably say stop worrying about what other people think. And why I would say that is because I think we spend a tremendous amount of our time and energy worried about what other people are thinking, even before we do something. And as even in process of doing something, and after we do, we think about the judgment that's going to be coming from other people. Mm-hmm. And the reality is, we all are our own centers of our universe. People really are not paying all that much attention to us to begin with.
Yeah.
And even if they are, like, who cares? I see so many people, especially entrepreneurs, getting held back from their dreams because they're worried about what damn strangers are going to think about them. Like, who cares what people on the internet are going to say about you? Who cares what your old high school friends on Facebook are going to say about you? And quite frankly, who cares what your, you know, brothers and sisters or your parents are thinking? It comes down to you being happy. That's the, you know, our whole entire purpose for being here is to learn and to figure out. I mean, we could get into a deep philosophical conversation here, but we can't really fulfill our purpose if we are so concerned about what strangers and acquaintances and people think about us. But we're taught to think that, and we're taught to be in that environment. But that's one great thing that comes with age. I mean, even though we get, you know, wrinkles and gray hair and all that stuff, which I'm experiencing, but you give less of a shit about what anybody thinks because you start to realize that that's not serving me. That's actually not helping me. That's hurting me. And you get to the point where you're like, I don't give a fuck about that. I really don't. I don't care what people think about me. And again, it's a process. But I think the more that we can be focused on what makes me happy and what feels good to me versus what are those people going to think about me, the better lives we can have, the better businesses we can have.
I love that. Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for jumping into the podcast here with me. I feel like I said, like, I wanted to talk about Mastermind, so we got to bring you on again to talk about that and talk about the benefits of that. But honestly, thank you so much for just gracing us here with your presence, and I love your energy. We'll catch you on the flip side, Sarah. Have a great one.
guys, that was Sarah Christensen onto the podcast. I hope you guys enjoyed that episode. And if you guys feel inclined to leave me a message or anything like that, a review, check out the iTunes page. Onto iTunes, leave a review. And also, if you guys have any questions or anything like that, send me a message, paul@pathfinders.com. You guys are amazing people. Honestly, thank you so much. And just shout out to all of you who are just amazing people who just show up every week and anything like that. Have yourself a great one.
I hope you guys enjoyed that. Remember to subscribe, share, and review. Thank you for taking the time for listening to this podcast. You can always find me at pathhunters.com. Stay awesome and know that you can become a path hunter today.